This is the Money Seed Podcast, where we discuss all things investing, plain and simple, the way it should be. Please remember, this show is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be investment advice. Welcome back to the Money Seed Podcast. My guest today is Blago Nesterov. He is the investments manager at WebStreet. Blago, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Gabe.
Blago, for those who have not yet heard about WebStreet, what is it?
WebStreet is essentially an investment fund that specializes in online businesses. So in particular, we're talking traditional e-commerce, whether that's third-party vendors on Amazon or direct-to-consumer platforms like Shopify, but then also SaaS, so software as a service, also content sites. So we're talking blogs or websites that are monetized through display ads, affiliate marketing, digital products, etc. We also have a little bit of exposure to Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing, which is a separate space on the Amazon platform. And basically, we invest in these cash flowing online businesses. So these are not startups. These are cash flow positive assets or businesses in the space of mid six figure to low seven figure valuation. So that's typically under $1 million of EBITDA.
And why do you invest in them? I mean, if someone can just go out there and buy their own business on a website like Flippa or Empire Flippers, where do you come into that space?
So the main benefit that WebStreet provides to investors is that it makes these investments passive. If you buy a website or one of these businesses on Flippa or Empire Flippers, you should expect to have to manage it. They are active businesses that require not only maintenance, but actual investment and effort to grow them, to maintain the returns or even to increase them. So this is where we come in. We don't manage these businesses in-house. We partner with professionals, experienced entrepreneurs in the respective spaces who have in the past bought and worked and grown this type of businesses. We raise funds from investors and we enable them to get exposure to this asset space, asset class in a passive way without having to have the skills or the time to manage these businesses.
So it sounds like if somebody's interested in acquiring an online business, or a website or an Amazon business or something that is already cash flowing, they can just buy the business themselves, but then they would have to actually run it, right? At that point, you are running a business. You have to spend money on advertising and deal with customer service and find all the people to run it for you, that kind of thing. Whereas through WebStreet, this becomes more passive, right?
That's right.
An investor, what would I like? How active versus passive is it if I invest through WebStreet?
The investment is entirely passive. So we launch what we call funds. We have launched six funds. We are about to launch fund seven in January this year. All investors need to do is review the portfolios that are on offer in a particular fund, see if they want exposure to those types of monetization spaces. So let's say in a particular fund, we would have 30% allocation to SaaS, 30% to e-commerce, 30% to content, or maybe a little bit for KDP or some other monetizations that that we are planning to introduce in the future. Investors need to basically just review if they want exposure to those spaces. We have thoroughly vetted the portfolio managers that we have partnered with in each fund. And after that, they just sit back, relax, wait for the distributions, which are quarterly, and the quarterly reports that we also send out, which inform them of the progress and what's happening with businesses.
So typically, how many companies are inside one of these funds?
Each fund is typically anywhere from 5 to 15 companies. As of late, we have increased the size of the business that we are going for as the market has become a little bit less competitive and we are able to buy good businesses at more competitive prices. So, 5 to 10 businesses typically in each fund, all in different monetizations. Managed by 3 to 4 portfolio managers who have different growth strategies. So really in every individual fund, an investor gets a very well diversified basket of businesses so that there's no single point of failure. These online businesses, of course, are risky like any other business. There is a little bit of platform risk. They tend to be uncorrelated, but there is, of course, risk. So within a well-diversified basket or fund of businesses, investors get exposure. Investors get a good diversified exposure to different models and monetizations.
I think that's a really important thing you hit on there. Is it sounds like these funds are not focusing on one type of industry or one type of business, right? It's not like you have one fund that's all KDP, one fund that's all Amazon. It's like you have a mixture in each one. And it sounds like that's more of a direct diversification strategy, right? Like that's done on purpose.
Correct. Exactly. And even if we, in some cases, have two portfolio managers that run the same monetization, so like, let's say two SaaS operators, they tend to have very different acquisition criteria and different strategies. So one of them could be focusing on B2B marketing tools, whereas the other portfolio manager could be looking at B2C or Shopify plugins or stuff like that. So that one, they're not competing for the same businesses with the funds that we raised. And two, again, we provide a well-diversified fund of businesses.
How often do you make acquisitions of businesses? And maybe talk to us a little bit more about what kind of a selection do you go through before you decide, okay, this business is good, let's acquire this business?
That's a great question. The acquisitions process itself is something that we invest a lot of internal resources in. We partner with external partners as well. And this is something that we look for in the portfolio managers that we partner with. So one of the key criteria for a portfolio manager that we onboard with us is that they have to have some acquisition experience. They have to have bought a business and managed it, because it's simply not the same as starting something from scratch. I'm not just talking here about the due diligence, but also about taking over a business, adapting it to your own systems, processes, incorporating it into your infrastructure, etc. So the due diligence process comprises of course, financial due diligence. We make sure that we rebuild the P&L. We make sure that all the financials provided are correct, that there's no discrepancies there. But of course, also some operational due diligence. So inspecting whether any tactics were used in growing this business that fall short of the terms of service that some of these platforms have. So let's say Google, if you run a content site and you do some what they call black hat SEO, that can be penalized and the business can essentially decline very, very severely. So this is something that we pay a lot of attention to during the due diligence process. And in a given acquisition phase, which typically lasts 90 days, we could be looking at close to 200 businesses, and we would ultimately reject 98% of them.
Amazing. So out of 100 businesses that you review, your acceptance rate is around 2%.
Something like that in any given monetization, yes.
That's incredible. Wow. Okay. So that actually makes me feel quite good, in the sense that, you know, these are properly, thoroughly vetted businesses that you're considering.
Correct. Yeah, we have what we call double vetting. So on one hand, we are vetting, like I said, the portfolio managers, their strategies, whether that works for the fund and for what we are looking to achieve, and the businesses that they end up acquiring.
So Blago, let's get into the meat of it. Roughly what kind of returns have your investors been seeing?
So we've been around for 3 years now, and our annual cash on cash returns have been just north of 12%. Our target returns are 20% annualized, and that will include the exit. So the way it works is these businesses that we buy, we do quarterly distributions to investors, which, like I said, are around 3 to 4% quarterly. At the end of the hold period, which can be anywhere from 1 to 5 years, possibly more if the opportunity is there to keep growing the business. At the end of it, the portfolio managers, together with us, we list the business back up for sale. In fact, we have a few of them listed for sale right now. And we split the profits again with investors.
Got it. So it sounds to me like it's very similar to, say, real estate, where someone buys a rental property, right? Is you put up a lot of capital, you acquire an asset, that asset generates cash flow, you paid out to your investors once every quarter, and then at some point in the future, you sell that entire asset, and hopefully you sell it for more than you bought it for.
Exactly. Yeah.
So in that case, it almost seems like the the cash flow would be consistent, say every quarter you get a little bit, and then 3 years, 5 years down the road, when you end up selling it, that's when you get a bigger chunk of a return.
Correct. Yes, the returns are generally backloaded because the majority of it is realized at the exit. These businesses typically trade for around 3x annual, and any growth that you achieve really comes out at the exit.
If somebody wants to, say, invest with WebStreet, and then a year later, for whatever reason, they say, okay, I want to exit, I want to sell back my investment or cash out, is that possible?
Right now, no. So currently, the investment is illiquid. We are working on enabling a sort of a secondary market, which we have seen with similar platforms to ours in other types of investments and assets. But right now, no. The investment is illiquid.
It sounds like it's a similar type of problem when multiple people get together to buy real estate, right? And one of them wants to exit. The challenge with that one is you have to come up with evaluation for the asset before it's actually sold on the market. So you have to kind of get into this guesswork of how much do you think it is? Well, I don't know. It's not for sale, right? How much is the market willing to pay? And it's like, you don't know. You actually have to go through this really tedious valuation process. And I think that's where it gets really tricky if you actually have to pay out an investor before an asset is sold.
Right, right. Marking into market is difficult, especially in this kind of scenario. And there would always be, no one would be truly satisfied with the outcome.
So Blago, what kind of investors are you seeking?
Currently, we work with accredited investors only who don't necessarily need to know anything about the space, but they need to understand that this is a risky investment. It carries risk. And this shouldn't be a major part of their overall net worth. So typically, we say that this should be a small part of their overall portfolio. And we have in the past partnered with crowdfunding platforms to allow non-accredited investors to come in at lower minimums. In fact, right now, we have a crowdfunding opportunity to invest directly in WebStreet, which means you get exposure to all the underlying assets that WebStreet has invested in, because WebStreet earns a carry from every single portfolio. We may do that in the future as well, but for now, we only work with accredited investors.
Did you mention that right now, through a crowdfunding opportunity, people can own a piece of WebStreet, the company?
Correct.
Interesting. And what kind of returns do you expect for WebStreet, the company, versus one of the funds? Because it sounds like the returns on the funds are quite nice.
I believe there are some securities regulations that state I'm not allowed to talk about that. Interested investors could just look for our crowdfunding campaign on WeFunder. And everything is outlined there together with everything that, all the disclosures and everything that is required by regulations.
Gotcha. And for getting back to the funds briefly, you mentioned that you're looking for accredited investors. Is there an investment minimum?
Yes, the investment minimum is $60,000 per fund.
Every one of these syndications is different. So that's why I always ask, right? Because for some real estate syndications, $100,000 seems to be the minimum. There was a life settlement space type investment that I came across recently. Same thing, accredited investors, but that had a $30,000 minimum. It sounds like WebStreet is kind of in between those two figures and you're at a $60,000 minimum. Yeah.
Right. This is where we have arrived with our current investor audience that we have worked with. It's an investment that makes sense. We typically launch 3 to 4 funds per year. And of course, we advise diversifying across multiple funds. Even investing in one fund, you get a nicely diversified portfolio. Investing in more of them diversifies that even further.
You mentioned that you have roughly 7 funds open at the moment, and you're opening more next year and this year and next year. What is the roughly, if you have to take an estimate, what is the assets under management?
We have around 20 million in assets under management right now, and that's on 5 active funds. So fund 6 is currently in the acquisitions process. We are currently looking to deploy around $6 million on Fund 6. But funds 1 to 5, that's around $20 million of assets under management, 40 acquisitions in total.
And Blago, what is sort of the next 5 or 10 years look like for WebStreet? What are your goals?
The goals are to do what we're doing bigger and better, prioritizing investor returns and enabling the portfolio managers that we partner with to grow their portfolios together with us. And to really create a new asset class out of these online businesses. So this is, like you said earlier, not something that you can really passively invest in. If you want to get exposure to really the excellent returns that online businesses can provide, your option before WebStreet was to just go and buy a business and either hire an operator that would obviously eat into the returns, or try to run it yourself if you have the time and the skills. We are trying to eliminate all of those obstacles and create this asset class where you can get exposure to this space in a passive way.
And Blago, what kind of management fees does WebStreet take for running these various online companies?
So the major component here is the carry. Essentially, in order to turn this into a passive investment, investors give up 1/3 of the profits, and that's the carry that's split between WebStreet and the operators, the portfolio managers. On the other hand, portfolio managers don't receive a salary. So we have carefully aligned incentives here where they only profit when and as much as investors do. So the portfolio managers get their carry, that's split with WebStreet, creating a win-win-win situation between themselves, WebStreet, and investors. Apart from that, there is a standard 1.5% AUM fee and a one-off 1% admin fee.
I really like the fact that interests are aligned, as you mentioned. You know, one of the things that really irks me about the mutual fund industry is that virtually every single mutual fund, the company running it, they'll take their 1% or sometimes 2% admin fee, whether or not the fund loses money or makes money, right? And so they almost get into the situation where it's like, they don't really care if the fund goes up or goes sideways or goes down. They're taking their 2% every single year, and you have to pay for that service, whether it's a good service or not. So I like your model, right, where it sounds like the portfolio managers really only get paid if their companies do well.
Correct. Yes, it's challenging. Of course, it's not as safe on our end, but we really tried to create this situation where we don't win if the businesses underperform.
Excellent. On a personal level, how did you get into the space?
My background is in finance, and eventually, slowly, gradually, I entered the e-commerce space around 6-7 years ago. And then really witnessed the tremendous potential during COVID. That was one of the industries that grew exponentially during that time. And that growth hasn't really subsided. I found out about WebStreet when it started out. I was in the first batch of hires, joined mid 2021. And since then, I've been really witnessing this tremendous growth and being very excited about being part of a team that's trying to create and enable access to this asset class to people that are outside of it.
Sounds like you've been part of WebStreet since its early days. Where can people find out more about WebStreet, about the WeFunder campaign at the moment? What are some of the links and maybe social media info?
Yeah, webstreet.co is our homepage where, the fund itself, the fund information is available only to accredited investors. The WeFunder campaign is active on WeFunder. I think you can just search on their homepage. Or if you create an account on our platform and you're not accredited investors, you will be directed to the WeFunder campaign. Apart from that, we are on LinkedIn, Twitter, a few of those social media, professional social media networks.
Excellent. Blago, thank you very much for taking the time today. I'll put all those links into the show notes. And have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Gabe. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Money Seed Podcast. Please remember to click like, and subscribe. It really helps spread the message to other investors, and it helps attract new viewers to the show. We appreciate your support. Thanks very much.